Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is Friday. It's frickin' Friday. It's another frickin' week. Frickin' weekend's coming up, and I'm just frickin' ecstatic when I consider all the possibilities. It's also the fourth day of May, 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. It's currently 58 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 71 degrees today for the Klamath Basin, and a real nice spring day. Got no complaints. Anyways, we're going to start out, we're going to clear up a few things for a few people when we get back from this break.
Listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then. You know, we were talking yesterday about, you know, what's going on in the so-called patriot movement in this country. The fact that those calling themselves patriots seem to be joining with the old guard to bring it in as the new. And one of the fellows listening here said he was going to call McNeil and talk to him about it because he couldn't see how this was the real deal, McNeil doing this. Well, yeah. Well, I heard some response this morning, so evidently he must have. One of the things that Corky came up and he was, started talking about this is who would be against this satellite to get the micro effect out there to more people. I'm going to tell you who, Mark. It's Henry Shively. Henry Shively. That's who's against it. I'm against it 110% because I see what you're doing. I see exactly what you're doing. What you are doing is I heard Mike Nesser come up. You know, he's one of their brainchilds. General Nesser over there. You don't need a gun, Nesser. And he said, well, you need to emulate what Alex Jones did. Look at, he got all, but yeah, if you want millions of dollars, you goddamn right. All you got to do is sell out. I could have sold out long before the trenches, I promise you. And with the trenches, the offers came, people. And the very fellow over there, this Andy, who's jumped up to, you know, this new agenda over at the Micro Effect to get them up on satellites and get going. I mean, build this big network. Oh, he's one of the first people that contacted me. Oh, you know you could do this and that and the other. I know I could compromise like a son of a bitch. But that ain't why I did. You know, people, I'm going to tell you a little secret. I didn't do this for money. I didn't do this for mammon. I didn't do this to see how much power I could accumulate and how much mammon I could accumulate. That's why the trenches is what the trenches is. You know, you might have a hard goddamn time of getting to us through all the algorithms, but when you get here, you're going to hear the truth. You're going to see the truth. The truth is going to be told in spite of hell and everybody against it. Now, the broadcasts that are going on over there, you see what he wants to do here. Well, what Cornkey said here. He said he won't say my name because I think to say my name might invoke something. I don't know what the hell the deal is. I really don't. But the bottom line here is, are you worried? Am I worried about my listener share? You know, hence my market share. What he's laying out here is, oh, they're going to build this big apparatus. And why should I care that they're broadcasting essentially Fox News? Because that's what you have to do if you want to make money at this goddamn business. You're going to broadcast either the false right paradigm or the false left paradigm. And why do I care? Why do I care that these people are going to, that Joe McNeil is going to sell airtime? That's what this is about. This is about money. Make no mistake. See, Joe McNeil, he was successful at his trucking he had a trucking business, and he just cannot face the fact that goddamn he couldn't do this thing. Not doing it like we do. Not telling the truth. You can't. You will have to compromise if you want to make money and you want to have a successful business doing this. Well, you're going to compromise. You're going to compromise. You're going to bring in the people who are pro-Israel, like the person I listened to on Tuesday that came up after Mark Cornkey, that came up and said, you know, he's given a seminar. I think it was maybe Friday, maybe this weekend, a seminar on the lies that we're out here telling on Israel, that Israel is, oh, they're the most wonderful. These people declare their Judeo-Christianism. They back Israel 110%. And we should go to war right now with Iran to protect Israel. This is what the, and this is not me talking. This is them talking. And this is what you're going to pay if you go and pay for a satellite. I should go pay for a satellite so my enemy can have airtime. Is that what this is about? So that Joe McNeil can make a money and have money and have a successful business. You know what? You guys can do this shit. You know what? But you're going to have to do a couple of things here. You're going to have to quit calling yourself the Patriot Movement. You stop calling yourself the Patriot Movement and call yourself what you are, the Patriot Industry, that is going into cahoots with the mining industry, with the farming industry, with the ranching industry, and with the logging industry. You're coming back, you're going into cahoots with one another to try to regain control of the bureaucracies, and you don't give a monk's fuck about the people's rights. Just so long as you get your clicks and your privileged positions back in place so that you can live happy lives and to fuck the rest of us. I understand that, but you're going to tell the truth. If you're going to do it, you're going to tell the truth, because I'm going to be here to tell it if you don't. You are the Patriot Industry, not to be confused with the Patriot Movement. You are in it for the fucking money and for the power that you can get for your own self-interests, and fuck the people. That is the fruit of what you show us. You come up and you claim patriotism and then you show us this. That's a bait and switch. And then he brought up Bob Miner and the fact that he is a patriot. So we're going to go help this patriot. Bob Miner is not no goddamn patriot. And this is what I've been telling you guys since when I went off the Liberty Tree Radio. It was the thing we got into it. Don Betcher over the, this is what the deal is here, people. All of these goddamn Judeo-Christians that are committing treason against the rest of us, that have been committing treason against the rest of us for 100 fucking years. Well, you see, when this whole thing goes down, all these other Christians they're just going to embrace them because they really didn't know what they were doing. They were just misled when they committed their treason. They're not going to be punished for their treason. You see, because they were just misled. You see? And this Bob Miner. Now see, he's not no goddamn patriot. He doesn't know the Bill of Rights. He doesn't know what the Constitution was supposed to be. He doesn't know the common law, or else they wouldn't be, it's just like Amon Bundy. They wouldn't be calling for people to give money to get some, admiralty lawyers up there to get him out of his troubles, would they? And when I did this shit in the courts, you think that I had a lawyer? Or do you think I knew what I was talking about and that's what I was there fighting for? Because it was the latter. This guy can't even file a fucking paper, but he's a patriot. No, what he was is what he was. This is the deal. Like I said, they made a big mention of they took his Bible. When they came there, this guy was a big mouth son of a bitch. He came on the radio and I told you guys how he made Spike his enemy. It was attacking Mark. spiked him and stood up, and he would not stand to have Mark Carnegie attacked like that and called a fraud. Spike stood up to him and told him to go to hell, offered to whip his ass. And now this guy, he went up to North Dakota, and he had him a 50 caliber Barrett. He was out there telling everybody how he's a part of the International Christian Militias. He's a Christian militia, and he's going to do what he wants to do, and he's got this 50 cal in the militia. I'll cut your ass down. And they called him on it because he was nothing but a big mouth, blowhard, know-nothing son of a bitch. But no, he's a patriot. No, you better read. And I tell you what, you quit calling yourselves militia, too. That's going to stop. Stop calling yourselves militia because you are not. Militia, by definition, for the little united, biggest states of these America, defends the Bill of Rights, absolute. That's his only fucking job, defending the Bill of Rights and enforcing the common law against enemies foreign. That is, if a foreigner comes in here and thinks they're going to take our rights away from us, we're going to fight them. Or domestic, like these son of a bitches over here that are broadcasting on the micro effect. Those are domestic enemies. The militia would be against them and for the Bill of Rights without compromise. But you got to compromise, guys, don't you know? And that's what Mike Nestor has whispered into Joe McNeil's ear. You got to do it like Alex Jones did. You know, sell the fucking people out and you can make goddamn good money at this. You could. I could have. But I'm not going to. And you're going to quit calling yourselves militia and you're going to quit calling yourselves the Patriot movie. You are the Patriot industry, period. It irks my ass to no end. You know, the thing is, they look at it like this. We should just kind of just, you know, let this shit go on, you know. Let these people come up and talk about taking the bureaucracies back in California and Oregon and I. Do it. You know, we're going to go down here. We're going to get our own sleazy group together to do the sleazy shit, to get the sleazy bureaucracy going again for our own sleazy group. Nothing about the Bill of Rights. Now, like I said, they bring up the, we're for that First Amendment. I really don't know the rest of the Bill of Rights, but I'm for it. I'm your champion for the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. I really don't know what that son of a bitch says either. Just like this guy in North Dakota, don't have a fucking clue. But they're going to step up. It's just like, is the fella here that I was talking to yesterday? You're up here most days. Are you there? Laura says you're there. Come up. Star 6 to unmute.
Yes, I am.
All right, brother. Did you listen to the intelligence report this morning?
No, sir. I don't have...
Because you don't have that satellite, huh?
Correct.
Okay. Now, this is something that Mark Carnegie said, and I want to know what you think about it. Now, he said that he came up and he read an article from over at Gun Owners of America, and he told people like you, he said, you need to come over, you need to go to Gun Owners of America and donate money to them, to that industry. How do you feel about that?
I've never trusted Gun Owners of America. I never contributed to them, and I won't. I'd like Mark or Ed to tell me what they have ever done for the gun owner out here in the country.
They haven't.
Absolutely nothing except take the money and Larry Pratt flying around first class. That's what they've done for us.
You betcha. And the thing is, it's another part of that industry we're talking about, the NRA. When you step back and look at this Patriot industry, it is a multi-billion-dollar industry. You throw in the prepping, the gun sales, and these training camps that they throw out there. Do you go pay to go get trained? You throw all this shit. This is a multi-million-dollar industry, or billion-dollar industry. Now, if we actually went, if everybody thought like you and I do, and we just said this shit stops today, there's going to be no more voting. There's going to be nothing but goddamn gunfire. This shit stops. We want our Bill of Rights back. We want our common law courts back. We want our freedom and liberties back. It stops today. It would stop today. But if it stopped today, that industry's gone. You guys realize that, don't you? That industry is gone. People have made goddamn fortunes on goddamn prepping and guns and all this shit just so they can keep leading you around in a circle right back over to the son of a bitches. I'm telling you, these people who were broadcasting the other day, they admit it. You can go look it up. They were in the goddamn bureaucracies. They were the ones that were running it when the communists ran them out. Now you try to tell me that somehow you can justify giving them airtime and then, but this is what gets me. You give them airtime. You call yourself a conservative, broadcast and give them the airtime. Just like, and then you can be right there competing. But see, they would have to be competing with Fox and Alex Jones and all of these son of a bitches. You see, but they come on and they go, no, this is the Patriot broadcast. These are patriots. No, they're fucking not. They are Tory militia. They are traitors extreme. Period. By definition. We're supposed to forget that, people. And you know, we just need to step back from this and give them a chance to get back a hold of the bureaucracies. These same people, these are the people who removed our common law courts. These are the people who have removed our Bill of Rights. These are the people who created the BLM that ran us off our public lands. And all the hell they want is back in control so that it benefits them and fuck us. But the thing is, we are the power. Go ahead, brother.
Henry, yeah, I know. I kind of listened to some of those broadcasts, and there's a common thread. These are all people that work in all of these departments. They worked in all these government agencies, and now they're just kind of like, you know, freelancing, you know, leeching off the Patriot movement now.
That's exactly what they're, they started. I mean, I'm going to tell you guys something, man. When that shit went down at Galice, I went over there, and I seen what was there. FBI, ex-FBI, present FBI, goddamn ex-military, all these goddamn, the people who have been oppressing us, the Oath Keepers, who didn't keep their fucking oath the first time, so they're retaking it, they're going to keep the bullshit. This is the enemy. These are the enemy that we dealt with in our lives. And they were right there in our faces during our daily lives. They are the people that cut the roads off so we couldn't go into our, onto our public lands. These are the very individuals. And I told Cornkey, I came up on the thing when he was wanting to send shit over there to Galice. I said, you're aiding my enemy. And I told him why they're my enemy. And he couldn't argue that they aren't my enemy, but did he send them shit? Like he sent the shit up to Burns. This is what he wants, the Oath Keepers, the Three Percenters. He wants the good old boy, dirty church, motherfucking cabal back in control. And he's going to use us as a goddamn threatening stick. You see, he wants, he knows where the goddamn power is. You know, he used to be, they were, had their little clique gathered together there, and they had a monopoly on the preparing and everything, but every, it broke loose. Now, you ain't going to have to provide me a gun. I got plenty of my own. Yeah, we're all armed now. We all got our food. We all got our bullets. You got nothing to hold over us to make us fight for you. We're fighting for ourselves. We're fighting for our Bill of Rights. It belongs to each and every one of us. And for anyone, I mean, they talk your circles around all the shit you want to. But for you, I mean, the bottom line is our people, if we want to win now, you come together on a commonality, something we're, this is what we're fighting for. And we don't have, and what do you got need to fight for past that Bill of Rights? Because everything else comes with it. If that's truly your idea is to put this, republic back like it was supposed to be with the people in control, it's the Bill of Rights. There is no other issue. But oh, we got to talk. We might want something. Yeah, I know what you want. I know exactly what you want. You want your asses back in control. You want the good old boys to run everything and to have first grab at everything and throw your fucking scraps at us and tell us we ain't got no rights because you're the son of a bitches that removed them. Not the communists. The communists couldn't come into this country. There was no opening into this country until you removed our rights and our ability to prosecute. You did it. And that's the truth of it, people. Go ahead.
Don't you think that one of the agendas that they have is confusing the Constitution with the Bill of Rights?
Oh, please. Absolutely, brother. That's why, you know, because we are pushing. We're pushing. I see it. I see it in so many places and so many venues. We are pushing, and they know it. That's why, you know, they, when we first started doing this, you didn't hear the word Constitution very often at all. Very often at all. But now there's this Constitution, this Constitution. No, fuck your Constitution. We're going to talk about the Bill of Rights, you son of a bitch. That Constitution is null and void. That was your authority to operate. You fucked it up. You violated the contract to the point that you have no authority, legitimate authority to operate. Only thing they're standing on is like Tucker Carlson said the other day. It's the voters giving you the authority. It's the voters, 25% of the population, people. That should be our focus. There's 25% of our people that are fucking committing treason against the rest of us. And to think, you know, just like this voting thing, like Cornkey had the guy up, that he's running for governor, I think, of governor of Michigan. And he's having this guy up and what might have you talking, well, let's go vote in the local vote. You know what? When you're, if you're voted, registered to vote in that local election, you are on the national rolls. You are giving the consent. And God damn it, he knows it. If you go vote, I mean, God damn it, people, as a person that has sacrificed everything for our rights, and I've gone to jail for it, as a political prisoner for our rights. Don't I have the right to expect you to say, no, that's, you don't cater to that son of a bitch. You call that son of a bitch a traitor because that's what he is. Oh, we can't call him traitors. That's what one of these pricks said on Tuesday. You just can't come in and call him communist if you want to get him on your side. Really? That's a fucking communist. I've got to cater up to him. I've got to kiss up to him. You know something? No, we don't. We are the power in this country. We outnumber you, even you son of a bitches over there. We outnumber you, and you by God know it. And we're armed to the fucking teeth, and you're not going to do this. You're not just going to steer us about. This doesn't belong to you as a personal piece of property. That Bill of Rights belongs to every goddamn one of us, and every one of us has the right to go forth and fight as we see fit for it. Without your leave. Without your consent. Without your advice. And you want to go and you want to build a goddamn, like I said, you want to build you a goddamn business over there. You call it what it is. Don't you call it Patriot Broadcasting, because by God, it ain't. You're using that name to try to facilitate these goddamn ex-politicians, these son of a bitches, the communists kicked out, to get them back into office and make some money. Joe McNeil wants to be rich like Alex Jones so he can say, there's my successful business that I created. I had to fuck the people. I had to compromise the goddamn rights of the people. I had to commit treason, but by God, I made the mammon, and that's all that counts in this goddamn world. Think I couldn't have done it? Think I couldn't have had more money than any goddamn one of you out there? Because I'm here to tell you I coulda. I understood it a long fucking time ago, and the offers were made. I just said, I don't sell my people out. I don't sell my fucking Bill of Rights for no price. And the thing with the guy over there in North Dakota, like I said, in the end of this, you have two people standing up there that were traitors to your goddamn country, that committed treason against us as individuals. You got them standing up there. One of them is a goddamn Judeo-Christian. The one standing beside him is a goddamn atheist. Well, you can hang that atheist. You can try him. You can put the rope around his neck, but you ain't gonna, they're gonna turn their guns on you when you go after that goddamn Judeo-Christian, because he was just misled when he was cutting your fucking throat. And it's just like, you know, that Sons of Liberty movie, that John Hancock, he was in bed with the goddamn governor there in Massachusetts with, you know, see, he wasn't paying the taxes that were taking other people's little businesses and shit from him. He was one of the boys, you see, one of these son of a bitches like our ex-politicians over there on the micro. He was one of them. Now you try to imagine this, if you will. Now, you're a man like me that is, you know, back then you put up this shit until you're at the point you ain't putting up with no goddamn more of it. So you've taken up arms. So this dirty son of a bitch who was one of your oppressors, who was one of the son of a bitches that was, causing your goddamn misery. Well, because he's one of the boys. You see, he gets a commission. And there he is standing in front of you, giving you fucking orders that he can have your ass shot if you don't fucking obey him. That's how this shit works if you let it. We don't need them. Each and every one of us is quite capable of getting 5 or 10 guys together and training ourselves. You've done it across this country. You know you have. They know you have. You don't need them. You don't need them to manipulate you to fight for your own destruction. Anyways, that's what I got to say. And Henry Shively is against it. I'm against it. Israeli defense minister asked Russia to stand down Syria air defense or they will be attacked too. Now you think that little pisshole over in that goddamn desert would be fucking with the bear and said, no, I got my goddamn, my goyim behind me, and my goyim we keep under good control because we have the mechanism set from the bottom up to keep them under control so I can threaten you. I'm a little pissant, piece of shit, spineless, dog shit, goddamn Israeli, but I'm going to threaten you. Because I got the mic, because I've got these people in my goddamn control. This is from Investment Watch. It was sent in by Gray Rider for discussion. I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. Israeli defense minister said on Thursday in an interview for a Russian newspaper, the Kommersant, respectively, that Israel will continue to hit military targets in Syria. That's war, ain't it? No. No, that's not war. Not when the goddamn masters do it. And I'll tell you what, this right here, what I'm talking, them son of a bitches over there that were on their Tuesday support this 110%. They support it. Okay? Now you tell me that's Patriot Broadcasting. Do it. Oh, man, where were we here? Okay, targets in Syria. Avgador Lieberman warned the Russians that, let me quote, If the S-300 systems aren't aimed at us, that's one thing. If they open fire on our aircraft, we certainly will respond. This is threatening fucking Russia. But do they really have what the cojones or the wherewithal to threaten Russia? No, how could they possibly threaten Russia? Because they're goddamn slave goim dogs over here in the United States. I'm going to sick them on you. You know, this is sick them on you. This is how this whole goddamn world works. You got goddamn cowards threatening to sick people on you if you don't give them the power.
And, you know, it's like, we're not going to fight, but my big brother's going to come and
there
beat you up.
Go. My big brother. There you go, brother. We always take Russian interest into account and hope they take Israel's security interest into account. These comments arrive in the aftermath of Israel's Air Force attacks on Syrian targets, including a T-4 airbase, a move strongly criticized by Russia, Assad's regime's main friend and ally. The diplomatic relations between Russia and Israel took a turn for the worse recently after Russia announced its plans to deliver state-of-the-art anti-aircraft missiles systems, S-300s, to Assad's regime for free. A decision which made the Israelis very nervous. Why would it make you nervous? Because your goyim will come over there and they'll eat those goddamn missiles for you, won't they? Top Russian officials announced that if Israel tries to attack S-300's anti-aircraft systems, Russia will retaliate and the consequences would be catastrophic. Israel Defense Minister also told the Knesset that Iran attempts to turn Syria into a forward position against Israel. Every attempt by Iran to establish itself in Syria will be frustrated. It will be very wise of Assad not to interfere. Don't interfere with what we're battling. That's like somebody fighting out in your fucking yard. You stay the hell out of it. I'll tell you what, it's my fucking yard. The gall of these sons of bitches. It just blows me away.
Henry?
Yes, sir.
Don't you think that now that North and South Korea are out of the picture, they're going to have to step it up? Screwing with other people now?
Dude, I think that's the whole reason they're doing this, is to act like, well, we're really for peace. But, oh, man, look what they did over there. Them Iranians did something. Now Israel, we got to go get Iran. We didn't want to. We show you right here. We're trying for peace. We really like peace. There's just nothing we can do. We have to go do it for the Israelis, don't you know? We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Down the road here from me, there's an old holly tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again, there's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you'll fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Head high, throat chest line, freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times, standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey your secret safe with the end. Of a revolution.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 12:36 Pacific Time, and that was Edge of Revolution by Nickelback. We listened to that to break. You know, I was thinking about it. You know, this whole little scenario. What are you trying to create? Some goddamn notion of political correctness? Who would say that against the Patriot Movement? Well, you need to define what you're goddamn calling a Patriot Movement, I reckon. If that's what you're calling a patriot movement, you goddamn right. You know what? I got the right, if I disagree with something, to say it. Man, that's in that Bill of Rights. Maybe you ought to go read it. Just like you got the right to come out and throw your shit out there, I got the right to come and throw my shit back at it. That's how that works. Back to the article. Man, yeah, here we need a war. We need a war bad. These comments arrive in the aftermath of the Israeli Air Force's attacks on Syrian targets, including a T-4 airbase. Assad's regime, okay, they did that. Okay, Iran's attempt to turn Syria into a forward position against Israel, every attempt to this will, in itself, will be frustrated. Now, let's see what Avigdor Lieberman actually meant. Basically, he warned Russia, which, by the way, is a military superpower, at least compared to Israel. That's what I'm saying. Who is it? I mean, well, they must have some big brother standing behind him, like Flea said. Compared to Israel and other and any other country or group of countries in the Middle East, that is air defense deployed in Syria. The T-3 or the S-300 SAM systems are currently protecting Russian military bases, its naval base in Tartus, and its warships. As Assad's regime requests must be put on hold, while Israel's air force strikes targets in Syria with impunity, in complete disregard of international law. Of course, there is no goddamn law, and that's what people better wake up to. And he also said that Israel's strikes will continue in Syria, which means the Israelis, that Israel tries hard to provoke a war with Iran and maybe Russia. Plain and simple. That's a war for us to fight, by the way, for our goddamn masters over there in Israel. And then I guarantee you, these people over at the Microfec, once again, supported 110% these Judeo-Christians, these sons of bitchin' traitors against our people. There's no other way to read Avigdor Lieberman's comments. If you're not up to date with what's going on in Syria, Iran's military forces are in Syria at President Assad's request, the same as the Russians. And they are helping the regime in its fight against ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and other garden-variety Islamic terrorist groups dubbed freedom fighters. And these insurgents, these goddamn mercenaries brought in by the United States at the bidding of Israel. To remove the goddamn legitimate governments of the Middle Eastern countries so that they can be turned over to Zion. Israel and U.S. Prior to Trump, oh bullshit, as they were trying to morph Syria from a secular state into a radical Islamic theocracy, just like they did in Libya or in their former Islamic state. Now a thing of the past, thanks to, in a big part, to Russia and Iran. Israelis perceive Assad's regime victory against ISIS as a clear and present danger at their border for reasons that are unclear to any rational non-Zionist. And they're escalating their aggression against Syria via a barrage of airstrikes. Sooner or later, those airstrikes will provoke a response. And that's what they're doing. And we talked about, you know, he got the authority to make war without their parliament or whatever they have over there in Israel. And that's what they're doing. They just keep bombing until somebody shoots back. Oh, they attacked us. Get in here, USA. Get your people into the meat grinder here. We need all that real estate. We need the water. We need the timber. We want the oil. We want the whole Middle East for our Zion Empire. As for every action, there is a reaction. In the past, Israeli strikes were meant to destroy weapons convoys traveling to Lebanon via Syria from Iran to supply Hezbollah. However, the most recent airstrikes targeted Syrian infrastructure. You know, their water facilities. Oh, goddamn, we could go with schools, whatever they want to hit, which is currently used by Iranian forces. And the last two airstrikes took place deep inside Syria's territory, killing and maiming both Syrian and Iranian operatives. This is what he's pushing for. We're going to do this because our Jewish masters say so. That little pisshole over in the goddamn desert's giving us goddamn orders to us Americans. Fuck you, Israel. I will. Nobody I know or myself will ever fight for you. I will fight against you. And sooner or later, we're going to remove this goddamn Zionist government, this goddamn occupation in our own country. So here we go again with Israel thinking they can do whatever the hell they want. Boy, howdy. And if someone or some country doesn't like it, well, then tough shit. It is just me, or is it just me, or is it, or it's a Jewish culture thing whereby they feel they can commit any egregious act, rather on a personal level. Well, yeah, when you got the goddamn superpower of the world, the trillion-dollar army that we're financing to back these motherfuckers, I guess they could, couldn't they? When the victim reacts in retaliation with the same kind of act or force that they did, well, then we will hear all kinds of propaganda about how Israel was wronged, or that their act of aggression was rightful, while the other, yeah, they're, you know, act, you know, shooting people down on the border, their unarmed kids, man, son of a bitches, oh, that's rightful. Yeah, they're protecting themselves, while the others was not. We've seen the kinds of BS play out over and over again for the last... for at least as long as I can remember. And you know what? That dog ain't gonna hunt anymore. Virtually every country in the world is sick and tired of Israel's antics. And if it wasn't for the U.S. constantly sticking up for them, even when the latter is totally in the wrong, then they would have been censored a long time ago on the world stage, and by God, wouldn't they have? I mean, that's plain and simple. Everybody knows this shit. It's like we could come up here, you know, week after week and say, this right there in your face. This is what they're doing. They're right there in your face. Fuck them. Don't let them do it. Resist them. Don't go along with it. Don't compromise none. Let's see what we're going to hear. I want to get this other one illegal. I wanted to hit this one for sure, because it just steps right in. You know, Trumpy, he's at the NRA, National Rifle Association, big meeting there, and they've called in every Mason from across the country to get a building so they can pretend like you got a big crowd. And he's in there, and these goddamn son of a bitches who are supposed to be, you know, this part of the industry, money-making, mammon-making industry, the NRA. And so, you know, they're in there cheering him. This son of a bitch just signed the first gun control legislation in how many years? He just signed it and then legislated his own law against our bump stocks, just wrote it down on a piece of paper, and they're there. NRA, yeah, because we're going to take back control, get all the guns from all the people who would try to stop us, yeah. Illegal immigration surges 230% in April on southwest border. This is from Washington Times, and you know, they're up there, although he's just so wonderful, he's kept every promise. These son of a bitches are pouring in here, and they will be shooting at you before this is over with, mark my words, this day. Illegal immigration along U.S.-Mexican border surged 230% in April compared to last year, according to new numbers released Thursday that experts said exposed major loopholes in American immigration law. It's just loopholes is what it is. That's why you're getting invaded. It was a loop. Hey, why, man? You don't need tanks. You don't need infantry. You don't need, all you need is a fucking loophole. You can invade this country and take it. Chief among the loopholes is the de facto catch-and-release policy that sees most illegal immigrants caught at the border quickly put back on the streets with the hope that they'll return to be deported later. Perhaps 75% of all immigrants caught by Border Patrol agents are given catch-and-release, as said Brandon Judd, president of the National Border Patrol Council, which represents line agents, knowing... they'll be released rather than quickly deported has served as an enticement for more illegal immigrants to make the journey. He said, well, yeah, what? We've been talking, say, what, did they just discover this? The reason is obvious. If you can cross the border illegally without consequence, why not? As long as the catch and release policy program exists, large numbers of people are going to cross the border illegally, said Brandon Judd, president of the National Border Patrol Council. April's numbers continue a month-long trend of worsening illegal immigration. See, it's all been a frickin' lie. It's all been a cover while they've been giving trillions to their goddamn buddies and their pipelines and all the goddamn international rich motherfuckers and turning the infrastructure over to the Chinese. The Border Patrol says it nabbed 38,234 illegal immigrants during the month, while Customs and Border Protection officers encountered 12,690 more people who tried to come through the official ports of entry without permission. That makes for the worst month since President Trump took office. It's also a huge turnaround from last year at this time when the new president's get tough rhetoric, and that's all in the hell it was, sparked a massive drop. In April 2017, Border Patrol agents nabbed just 11,129 people, and CBP officers encountered 4,646 others. Mr. Trump has repeatedly bragged about those early figures, and Democrats have also seized on them, saying the border situation was essentially solved. Remember when we told you when they were saying that was bullshit? The latest numbers suggest that's far from the case. However, with totals now back to where they were during the Obama era, what? In 2017, and due to the rhetoric, we had fewer apprehensions than any year in the past 45 years. It was simply because people believed that if they crossed the border illegally, they would be held until their deportation hearings, Mr. Judd said. But he added that that didn't end up happening. Smugglers quickly realized everything was status quo. And there once, and I tell you, they back this son of a bitch, Trump, man, over there. I mean, them people, they back him. This is Trump that he's God on earth. They're once again recruiting people to enter the country illegally, he said. Illegal immigrant children traveling alone and families traveling together are a particular target for the smugglers, who assure the migrants that they can win a foothold in the U.S. Officials say it's too bad that some illegal immigrants have taken to, it's so bad that some illegal immigrants have taken to kidnapping or borrowing children en route to the U.S. so they can pose a family and get more lenient treatment. More than a third of those caught by Border Patrol agents in April were unaccompanied alien children or families, while the CBP officers, the rate has soared to more than 50%. Children and families are the two groups that particularly benefit from catch and release, thanks to court rulings that have set strict limits on how long children can be held in detention. This is an invasion. They have the power to stop an invasion. They are accommodating this invasion, people. Get real. Releasing them virtually guarantees they don't show up for the deportation security experts saying, you're supposed to talk about this instead of just saying, hey, they're invading my country. I don't give a shit how you put it. They're here and they're taking. Free Walmart. Still other rank and file illegal immigrants are also processed and released if there's not enough detention space in the system to hold them. Mr. Judd said that leads to the 75% catch and release figure. Given that more than 38,000 migrant agents apprehended last month, that would mean more than 28,500 of them are likely to be quickly released. Now, that's the ones they caught. There's 28,000 of them going to be released. And we get to some more interesting numbers here. Administration's officials have acknowledged the problem. They say they've ended administrative catch and release, which means they no longer have an official policy calling for some classes of illegal immigrants to be released automatically. And as soon as they deny one of them, there will be a court case. It will go to the Ninth Circuit. And yes, you will. Just like the goddamn DACA. But they said a lack of detention bed space and demands set by federal courts still force catch and release for many illegal immigrants. For example, in the case of a mother and a child caught at the border, a court order generally limits Homeland Security to 20 days detention. That's usually too short a time to complete their deportation case. So they are released with the hope that they return for their deportation hearings later. That hope is often frustrated. CBP didn't respond to a request for a comment on the new numbers, which come even as the border agency is dealing with the illegal immigrant caravan. Mr. Trump asked about the caravan, and border security in a press conference earlier this week said Congress needs to step up and fix the match. That's what he does. You know, he was going to do all this shit for you. He was coming in with that goddamn pen and that paper and that phone. He was going to shut this shit down. Oh, you got to go talk to Congress. I'd love to do something. I'm fucking empty and I can't do a goddamn thing about it. You're the goddamn chief executive. We are being invaded. Yes, you can, you lying son of a bitch. We need a change in the law. Yeah, that's it. Catch and release is ridiculous. Of course it is. If they touch our property, if they touch our country, essentially you catch them and you release them into our country. That's not acceptable to anybody, he said. Homeland Security Secretary Christian Nelson echoed that call in a testimony to Congress last week, where she pleaded for Congress to write laws giving her department the ability to hold people. If you have an alarm in your home and you catch a burglar, see, they're starting to use our euphemisms here. If you have an alarm in your home and you catch a burglar and you call the police and the police come and in fact it is an illegal entry into your home, but the police then tell you that they have absolutely no ability to detain or remove those criminals and the criminals stay in your house, you would not tell me that that is a is home security. That is what we face as the border, at the border, she said, and absolutely. We stop people, we interdict them, but we do not have the authority, given the loopholes in many cases, I wonder who put those loopholes there, to detain and remove them. We are focused to release them back into the communities after they are have committed into the communities after they have committed crimes, she said. But Democrats have resisted those calls for change, objecting. So you got to have that false left-right pair. We would like to do it, but the Democrats won't let us. And they know, everybody knows that those goddamn industrialist Republicans, those rich barons, they don't want that free labor in here, do they? It's just the Democrats won't let them throw them out. Objecting to her deportation of... description of the law as loopholes. These laws aren't loopholes. I know because I help write them, Senator Dianne Feinstein, California Democrat, said earlier this week. They merely guarantee that children will be treated humanely, not that you lying international communist whore, not detained indefinitely, and have the right to seek asylum or other immigration relief available under existing law. The Trump administration should be using families and children fleeing violence as political bargaining chips, or shouldn't be. Using them as political bargaining chips to roll back critical protections for children. Everybody's children around the world, like I said, they fuck over there and you raise them over here. The number of illegal immigrants caught attempting to jump the border is considered a rough yardstick over the overall flow of illegal immigration across. Now, remember, they released 28,000 of the ones they caught. They got to come on in. Now, let's see how, what they didn't catch. Mr. Judge said it is impossible to know exactly how many people evade detection, but agents figure there are between 50 and 60% effective. So if they said 30,000 they caught, that's 30,000 that got in, and that is 30, 40, 58, about 60,000 in 1 month. And they're stopping this. They're doing something. Trump, man, we need Trump. If that is the case, and being an agent myself, I say it is, then the numbers become staggering. He said, no shit. Like I said, every once in a while, they come out and they just tell you how fucking bad it is. And then you'll hear all this bullshit. They're doing this and that. No, boy, it's down there. Man, they're going back to Mexico. They don't even want to be here. About a year later, oh, a bazillion more of them came in while you were listening to that bullshit. It's not stopping people.
At Walmart last night, Henry, and I thought I was in Mexico.
I know, brother. And you know what? You're paying for it, too. You're paying for that free Walmart.
They got a two-page pamphlet there. It's on the order of what you get, a menu in the restaurant. And when they go out by the cash register, the gal looks at the items there that are in the page. I don't know whether they're for nothing or what they are, but definitely items there that that they get, Roger.
Free. Free from you and me. This is why we don't have anything, brother. Because, I mean, how many ways they say it? But to pretend that they do not want this invasion force in here, this is a recolonization. And we're just supposed to sit here just dumbly and want them to recolonate and displace us and take our goddamn property. They've already established that we can't own property. If you have asset forfeiture like we're seeing operate in this country, can you own anything? Do you own anything? You haven't for a long time. Dozens more. Go ahead, sorry.
We don't own a thing.
No, sir, we don't. Dozens more caravan asylum seekers led into the USA from Mexico. No. Surely our mighty military went down there and stopped that invasion, right? Not. This is from Reuters. Dozens more Central American caravan migrants were led into the United States to begin pleading their case for asylum on Thursday, despite sharp criticism. See, that's what he's doing. He's criticizing them. Criticism from the U.S. President Donald Trump, bringing the total to 158 since last week. And they're here. Every one of them's got their checks. Probably some of them people you ran into down in the Walmart there. 70 men, women, and children were allowed into the crowded port of entry border crossing early Thursday morning, according to Alex Minsing, a caravan organizer with advocacy group Paid Goddamn Invasion, Pueblos Sin Fronteras. Another 62 migrants were still waiting for a chance to begin the asylum process, he said. So that big mighty army, he sent the army down there and everything, don't you know? Did it stop anybody? Hell no, it didn't. It's just a goddamn show as you're being invaded, and he's aiding in it. On Monday, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions beefed up legal resources on the border, including more prosecutors and judges to help them get into the country faster. And that's what's happening, to handle the groups of people from the caravan. Throughout the caravan's 2,000-mile odyssey from southern Mexico, it's mostly Honduran, Salvadoran, and Guatemalan members kept hoping they would ultimately get the chance to make their case for asylum in the United States. All the while, they have known their pleas might be rejected. No, you reject one of them and it will go straight to the Ninth Circuit and it will be overruled by the communists in charge. U.S. border officials had allowed through only small groups at a time, saying the busy San Ysidro crossing to San Diego was saturated and the rest must be patient. The migrants have spent four chilly nights, oh, poor them, chilly night camped outside the port of entry. In response to the caravan's arrival at the U.S.-Mexico border crossing, the U.S. Justice Department said it was sending 35 additional assistant U.S. attorneys and 18 immigration judges to the border to help them get on in here, make sure they get their goddamn checks and they get to that Walmart as quick as humanly possible. Trump wants to tighten laws to make it harder for people. I mean, it's too late. God damn it. If there ain't, I mean, what point do they outnumber us here, people? I want to do something. We're going to do something. Just, well, here's more. We got enough yet to take these Americans out? We got enough. And well, fuck you. We were never going to do anything. And now we're taking your ass out. We've got them all armed. We put little uniforms on them. We got our communist army. You better get ready to fight, people. In response, okay, 35 additional attorneys. Trump wants to tighten laws to make it harder for people to claim asylum, citing more than tenfold rise in asylum claims versus, well, like I said, at what point is it just you're too fucking late? They're here. There's too many of them. You can't move them. They've got a goddamn army. You got an army to push them out with? Well, yeah, the American people are going to have to be that army, aren't they? At the same time, we're pushing the goddamn communists out. When we go to do that, people, by the way, they're going to call that ethnic cleansing. And that's when the United Nations little blue-helmeted chinks are going to come in here, and you're going to have about a million of them to put in the fucking ground on top of it all, because you're just sitting here watching it happen. A lot of us are going to die, and the longer we let this go on, the more of us are going to have to die to fix the problem. But because we are going to have to die, we have to steel ourselves to the fact we're wiping these son of a bitches out internationally. Like I said, once we've taken this country back and we've gotten control of our nukes, then we say we know who these bastards are. We know who the Rothschilds are. We know who the Carnegies are. We know who the Rockefellers are. We know who all these international bastards are. You will deliver them to us, or we will deliver you a fucking bomb. How's that work for you? You got 7 days, and the first one that doesn't, push that goddamn button. We're not playing around. Better this earth be destroyed than taken over by bastards like you. He has railed against so-called catch-and-release policies that allow some migrants to remain in the United States while their cases are... I mean, that's so bullshit. It's not why their cases... You could come here, I mean, what they're telling you is automatically you've got 2 years that you can come in here and work an American job before you even have to say anything. That is the reality. I mean, they like to do these word salad and all this bullshit out there for you to think about. No, this argue this little point. No, the bottom line is that's 2 years of free taking an American job, period. People, we have hit the top of the hour. We will be back on Monday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, man, step back and look at it and call it for what it is. And that is The Word from the Trenches.